Florida law. Ask an attorney. Just give him a call.
This is Ask an Attorney. All about Florida law with attorney Joe Pippin. If you have a legal question, call Joe right now in Tampa. Call 813-287-5700. Anywhere else, toll free at 877-943-9673. That's 877-943-9673. The law office is open. And now your host, Joe Pippin.
Hey, good morning. Welcome to Ask an Attorney, all about Florida law. I'm attorney Joe Pippin, practicing attorney, still practicing after all these years. But I'm here to help you in any way I possibly can. All you have to do is to call the number. It's a toll-free number. You can call from anywhere, 877-943-9673. 877-943-9673. It's a live show on Saturday mornings where you can call in and ask your legal question. Your question can be just about anything. Can be about wills, trust, probate, trust administration, probate administration. Can be about family law. Can be about criminal law. Can be about personal injury. Can be about problems on the job or next door neighbors. Hey, if you have a problem and worried about it, it doesn't even have to be a legal question. I'd love to help you. 877-943-9673. I always like that first call coming in to get the show started. So if you have something that's bothering you, maybe you lost a little sleep last night, worried about something, need somebody to just give a different slant maybe, different opinion on your legal question, all you have to do is to dial that number, 877-943-9673. Phone lines are open. Well, I had an interesting week. I do a lot of speaking engagements. We had a hospice event. It was a panel discussion this past Tuesday night. That was in Pinellas County. Had a seminar Wednesday night at Ruth Chris, speaker with a financial group about estate planning. This coming week, I have several speaking engagements very similar to that. I had a speaking engagement at Four Lakes, which is a big community in Polk County. Early Tuesday morning. If your group needs a speaker, I love doing that. There's no charge or anything. I come out, give a presentation, and then take questions from the audience, just like the radio show. If you're interested in that, you can contact our office at 1-800-226-3529. 1-800-226-3529. Just go to extension 200 and just tell them you want Attorney Pippin to come speak at your group, and we'll get it all lined up. We have a first caller. Let's go to Karen. Good morning, Karen.
Good morning. How are you?
Good. You're calling from where?
Fleming Island, Florida.
Fleming Island, okay. All right, very good. What can I do for you?
I have a question. Several years ago, we put our property, established a living trust in my husband's name and my name.
Right.
And put our house, which is our primary residence, into the trust. Have there been any changes in the law concerning how, you know, primary residences being in a trust?
No, ma'am. I do, I do that almost every working day of my life. I do, creating trusts for people and putting their property into the trust. Mm-hmm. There's special language that we put in the deed, and there's special language we put in the trust to make sure your homestead is protected.
Okay.
So if that was done, when was the last time you saw an attorney about your estate planning?
9 years ago.
Yeah. So what you should do is to go back to your attorney. If you're happy with that attorney, go back to that attorney, have a little review, update your durable power of attorney. I send all of our clients a letter every 3 years if I haven't seen them, suggesting a review, which the review doesn't cost anything. And an update, most of them do an update on their power of attorney, living will, have their trust reviewed, make sure. In your case, if you know if I were involved with you, I would look at your deed, make sure it was done properly.
Okay.
But about every 3 years is a good time for review. If there's special language in your trust on deed that would protect your homestead, there's been no major change. If it was done properly to begin with, there's been no major change in the law that I know of where you'd have to be too concerned about.
Okay, thank you so much. Appreciate it.
All right. All right, Karen, thanks for calling. You're listening to Ask an Attorney All About Florida Law. I'm Attorney Joe Pippin, practicing attorney. We're broadcasting today from the Jacksonville area. It doesn't matter, though. You have a toll-free number no matter where you're listening at 877-943-9673. Let's go to Stacy in the Palm Coast. Hey, Stacy.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Hi, I have a labor law question. Is an employer required to give a half an hour lunch break and 2 15-minute breaks for anyone over the age of 18? I was looking online and it only states under the age of 18 that there's laws that apply. And then if not, is that employee protected under the supremacy, the OSHA supremacy clause?
Yeah, an employee even over 18 is required to give breaks and a lunch break. So are you
are
you being deprived of that?
My former employer, yes.
Okay, how long ago did you work for your former employer?
Since I worked there for 2 years, since last year. Actually, I think October 2017.
Were you ever told you're not entitled to a break?
Oh, yeah, for sure. She said she was not going to give us lunch breaks. We would have to sneak and eat when she wasn't looking. She also didn't pay for overtime ever, even if you worked overtime. And a couple of times, if I asked for 1 day off, she would make me take 3 days off or 4 days off if I was to take off the one unpaid day.
What size?
No,
what size?
Time, no,
yeah.
Time.
What size company was this?
She had about 6 or 7 employees.
Yeah.
It was in property management, and she had about 100 properties.
Were you an independent contractor, or were you a direct employee?
No, I was a direct employee. Well, actually, she had a payroll company, so I'm not sure how that works. Because technically, the payroll company paid us.
Well, any small business can have make that arrangement. It really kind of depends on your status with the company, though. Were you an independent contractor? If you were an independent contractor, she really couldn't control, your every moment. I would talk to a labor law attorney. You might have some rights there.
Okay.
All right, Stacy.
Great. Thank you so much.
All right, thank you.
Thanks. Have a good
all
day.
Right. You too. You're listening to Attorney Joe Pippin, Ask an Attorney All About Florida Law. If you have a legal question, hey, phone lines are open, and you have a toll-free number, 877-943-9673. That's 877-943-9673. You possibly listening today on multiple stations around Florida. We're on today we're broadcasting from Jacksonville, WBOB 600, The Answer on your dial. There's also affiliate with an FM station. Always forget the FM signal. It's 101.3. 101.1, okay, FM in Jacksonville. You also might be listening on 570, 910, 860, 930, all from the Pinellas Hillsborough County, and those signals go to Polk County and down to Manatee as well. You might be listening in the Crystal River area, and we have a station there that carries the program, and might be listening to 90.3 FM. We also have a community station, WSCQ, coming out of Sun City Center. Always forget a station or two. But anyway, those are the primary stations carrying the program. Ask an Attorney All About Florida Law. We've been broadcasting the show for 33 years. It's like the longest running continual program in Florida. So thank you for listening and being part of the audience. If you have a legal question, the phone lines are open at 877-943-9673. Let's go to Mary in Haines City, Florida. Hey, Mary.
Hello.
Hi. What can we do for you this morning?
My question is, my mother had insurance for when she died to bury her with.
Mm-hmm.
It was put in my name. And my question is that to be reported to IRS or...
No, insurance, a death benefit on insurance is not income taxable. So you don't have to report that as income.
Okay. Okay, I didn't know that, and I didn't know whether to...
No, if the company, if there was any built-up income inside the insurance product, you'd get a 1099 from the insurance company. Most of the time, a death benefit, though, doesn't, like an insurance death benefit, like the kind you're speaking of, doesn't have built-up income inside of it, so usually it's non-taxable.
Oh, okay. Thank you very much.
All right, Mary, thank you for calling. Phone lines are open again. Their line dropped off there with that question and answer. You have a toll-free number, 877-943-9673. And let's go right to John in Sarasota. Hey, John.
Well, good morning, Joe. Good morning.
Good morning.
I listen to your show a lot, and I really enjoy it.
Thank you.
I have a question on ownership of a part ownership of a house. Can 50% ownership be put into a trust?
Yes, sir. Let me ask the question, though. Is the property owned jointly, and is there some magic words on the deed that usually say jointly with right of survivorship, tenants in common? If there are no words after the two names, that would be tenants in common. You each own half. And if you each own half, you can put your half in a trust.
Okay, what if it's a 30% ownership versus 50% ownership.
You can put a 30% ownership in a trust, sure. You can put any fractional interest in a trust. If the property does have the magic words of jointly held with right of survivorship or something of that nature, a person can sever, you can sever that relationship with right of survivorship and turn it into tenants in common all by yourself. So if you wanted to, you own something jointly with someone with right of survivorship and you don't want it to be right of survivorship, you can sever that and just take your half.
Okay. Well, thank you very much.
All right. Thanks for calling.
Bye-bye.
Let's go to William calling from Lake City.
Thank you. Good morning.
Good morning. Now you're listening to 600, the answer... WBOB? Always interesting where people are listening. They call. We don't get a lot of calls from Lake City, but I'm glad we got one from you. I was wondering what station you're listening to.
I'm listening. I'm streaming 90.3 out of Haines City.
Okay.
We actually live in Hardy County. We're just up here with some friends.
Okay, great.
I need to ask about. This is from the Hardy County Building Department.
Mm-hmm.
And what it is, it's an owner-builder affidavit. So in the hurricane, it damaged our roof, which we had to redo it. And we had our house for sale listed with a realty.
Mm-hmm.
And so we had to take it off, of course. And we just actually now have the roof complete back on there.
Mm-hmm.
But this is an owner-builder affidavit.
Mm-hmm.
And they have a clause in here that says within 1 year after the construction is complete that we are not supposed to lease, sell, or rent this property. This, of course, was a repair job. We just repaired the roof. It says the law will presume that I build or substantially improved it for sale or lease, which violates the exemption. Now, I had to sign this. I had to initial this to get a permit as a owner. We did it. We did the roof. So what I can't figure out, I mean, I talked to them about this, and I said, but we got our house for sale. We're elderly people. We need to move closer to our relatives. Now, how strong is this? Is there anything that I can do to get out of this so we can re-list our property?
Well, you'd probably have to get a release from the county attorney or the county commissioners at maybe a special meeting. If you've signed it, it basically became a contract.
Right.
So you need to be released. You need to be released from the contract, basically.
Okay. The building department people said that they're done with it because it's been inspected and they okayed it, no problem. And they said that it's been, there's nothing they can do.
Yeah. Well, yeah, it's a signed contract, though, basically, or a signed agreement. I would think you need to be released. I think you need to be released from it.
Okay, I wonder if I mean, this is just probably for one county in Florida. What is this? Is this a state thing, this affidavit?
Nope, I think it's probably a county thing.
Okay, but they said they couldn't do anything.
Well, that's the building department couldn't do anything about it. Basically, I think if you try to sell it, then that becomes an issue with the title company because of the agreement that's probably a recorded document.
Mm-hmm.
You could check and see if it's a recorded document. If not, you could get somebody from the car. You can have a title company look at it.
Okay.
And the title company can tell you what would be required to sell the property with a warranty deed, brief on the claims of any other liens. So that's probably what I would do, is just have a title company look at the title and tell you what's needed.
Okay, good. I know someone's title company. Thank you very much.
All right, William. All right, let's go to Crystal River. Nope. Okay, that person dropped off. Okay. You're listening to Ask an Attorney, all about Florida law. Again, I'm Attorney Joe Pippin. If you are listening from Crystal River and you called, hey, I could take your call next. And sorry you had to drop off there for some reason, but love to talk to you. If you are listening anywhere, though, you can call our toll-free number at 877-943-9673, 877-943-9673. Phone lines are open. One of my speaking engagements this week, someone raised their hand, and I always ask, is anyone out there that you've been thinking about a living trust, and for some reason you came up with a reason not to? I asked that question. And usually the most common answers I get to that question are, well, what does this cost to do? It's, I mean, you're avoiding probate, you're avoiding guardianship, you're making a plan, you're making a plan to control the money over a period of time for whatever good reason you have for that. It just sounds like it'd be a lot more expensive than a will. Well, actually, it's not. The example I like to give, if you were a married couple and you were coming in and you wanted to know what the fee was for two wills, husband's will, wife's will, you wanted to. So most people that do wills would do a will, a durable power of attorney, healthcare, surrogate, living will. Those are the six documents that are generally done. And the fee for that would be $620, but at the end of the day, when the second one dies, it'd be probate, which could be thousands of dollars. It's like 3% of whatever has to go through probate. So if you have a $300,000 probate estate, that'd be $9,000, and you chose that fee because you chose a will. Now, if you did a living trust package, which would include all of those six documents, plus a trust, plus deeding your house to the trust, fee is only $795. So you spend like $175 more. And the same questions I would ask you to do the will are the same questions I would ask you for a trust. But you spend a little bit more, $175 more, and you get to avoid probate and save the thousands of dollars of fees. If you want to call the show, 877-943-9673. Let's go to Jeff in Jacksonville. Hey, Jeff.
Hey, how's it going?
Great. And you?
I'm doing great. I'm going through a divorce. I guess my couple of questions, and I'll take it off the air. But my wife has 3 years to refinance the house or sell it, you know, to get out of my name.
Mm-hmm.
So a couple of things. One, would I be able to purchase a home, you know, within that time, you know, just to get my own home? If I hand over, like, to the mortgage company, and I know all companies are different, you know, hey, she's responsible for this mortgage, do they take that into account? And also...
Well, hold on. Do you have a court order that says she's responsible for the mortgage?
Well, we just went through mediation, and it just says that, and I guess that's where the advice comes in. She has the house. I moved out. So she's going to live there, and she's going to refinance if she wants to keep the house.
Mm-hmm.
So I was wondering if in the paperwork there should be, because we went through mediation, we didn't get a full-fledged her lawyer, my lawyer. Is there anything that can be put into the paperwork where I could show to a mortgage company that says, hey, guys, this is no longer my responsibility?
No, see, absent a court order, which the court's not going to do, I don't think, you're still on the mortgage. And
right.
Even though she is responsible for the payment until the mortgage company releases you, which they probably won't because they like having two people rather than one on the mortgage, you know, if she would, if you could get her to refinance and get the whole thing in her name, then you'd be released. But otherwise, you're still going to be on the mortgage and it's still going to be a debt that shows up that you probably have to report.
Okay. Yeah, that's kind of what I thought. Is there, in your experience, anything that I, since I'm at the start of it, we haven't officially signed everything yet, but is there anything I could do to maybe mitigate the potential damage?
Let me ask you this. Does she have resources to where she could refinance? I mean, does she have income? Would a mortgage company accept her as if you refinance the mortgage?
No.
Then you're stuck.
Yeah. Okay. So in 3 years, with that agreement that we have, what can I make her sell? Or, you know, I know we'll have the legal paperwork saying that she has 3 years, but what happens when that 3 years is over? Can I, like, make her sell it, or how does that work?
Well, if she has a court order to sell it within 3 years, she could be in contempt of court if she doesn't sell it. You know, but if she doesn't want to sell it, she'll find a way to make it unattractive. She can, be difficult when she shows it. It'd be much better if you're going to go through the middle of all this is for you to be in control of the sale and have the real estate agent report directly to you.
Okay.
And then real estate agent can report to you if she becomes difficult to deal with, the real estate agent can report that to you. Then you have a little history of what she did, not wanting to sell the property. And then you could probably get a court order demanding that she sell it within a certain time. You know, there are real estate people out there that have these contracts. They list it, and if they can't sell it within a certain time, they buy it.
And you
could find a realtor like that to kind of force the sale of it. So if you're still negotiating how this is all going to work, what I would do, you know, there's a real estate show, right, that follows this show.
Okay.
And, somebody like that, I mean, I know them. I don't know a whole lot of realtors in Jacksonville, but I certainly know these folks. And I'm sure they could work out a deal and be your advocate for the sale of the property. In fact, you could listen, they come on right after me. You could just call them and ask to tell them your circumstances, tell them you talked to me. I suggest that they call you and pick their brain a little bit and see what they have to say about it.
I definitely will do that. I definitely appreciate the advice to get me a whole new perspective and outlook. So I definitely appreciate you taking my call.
Hey, that's what I'm here for. Thanks for calling, Jeff.
Thank you for your help.
All right, you're listening to Ask an Attorney All About Florida Law. I'm Attorney Joe Pippin, practicing attorney. If you have a legal question, the law office is open. Hey, we're open early on Saturday mornings just to help folks. And if I can help you, I would be more than glad to. We do have offices also in Jacksonville. I'd be glad to meet with you. If you need your documents reviewed, your estate planning documents, I'd be glad to do that. There's no charge for that either. In fact, I'm meeting a client this morning at 10 o'clock, right after the show, in our office here. So if you would like to meet with me to have your estate planning reviewed, there's no charge for that. Tell you what I think about your documents. Tell you what documents need to be updated, if any. And we have 20 office locations around Florida. That's really our policy in all of those office locations. We also have an estate planning poster sheet. By the way, let me give out the phone numbers here. If you'd like to call the show, phone lines are open right now, 877, toll-free, 877-943-9673. That's 877-943-9673. Phone lines are open. If you'd like to get our free estate planning poster sheet, There's one of three ways to be able to get that. You can call our toll-free number, which is, and just go to extension 200, and all we need your name and address. We'll mail out the poster sheet at our expense. Doesn't cost you a penny. We'd love for you to have our poster sheet to see, to make comparisons on your estate plan and maybe learn a little bit more about estate planning. One side of the sheet is like five articles. Big poster sheet on the other side is all of our office locations, phone numbers, radio shows, web address, and things like that. So you can call our toll-free number, 1-800-226-3529. 1-800-226-3529, extension 200. You can email me your name and address at Joe, J-O-E, at attypip.com. That's Joe, J-O-E, at attypip.com. You can text me your name and address, 727-667-3967. Let's go to Ben in Tampa. Hey, Ben in Tampa.
Hey, how you doing?
Good, and you?
Good morning. I'm good. I had a question about a father-in-law die.
Mm-hmm.
And but my mother-in-law, she died. My mother, my mother-in-law. It's my mother-in-law and my father-in-law.
Mm-hmm.
It's my wife's family.
Mm-hmm.
Basically, what happened is my mother-in-law died first, and my father-in-law died after her,
mm-hmm.
and he had a policy on him, and mm-hmm. I was trying to find out for my wife how could they, is it possible for them to collect on that policy at all?
All right, so when he died second, this policy probably named her as a beneficiary, but she's already deceased and there's no secondary beneficiary named on the policy?
Not to my knowledge. Yes, her, she was the only one on the policy.
All right. Did you know how much the death benefit was?
Probably about $300,000.
Okay, so your wife can, as a child, were there other children?
Yes.
How many?
Just three.
Three. And all friendly?
Yeah, they're all friendly.
All right, so let's say if your wife came to see me, here's what I would tell her. I would tell her, yes, we can open your father's estate. The three of you, just two have to agree to be the personal representative. So if your wife wanted to be the personal representative and one of her siblings agree.
Right.
If all three agreed, that would be great, but you only need the majority to agree.
Yeah, they get along real good.
All right, so then we would send out papers for them to agree to your wife being the personal representative. We file that with the court, and then you get a court order putting her in charge of her father's estate.
Mm-hmm.
And then you send that to the insurance company, and they send you a check.
Okay, so how can I get with you to?
Yeah, so just Sarah, she would come to my office in Largo.
Okay.
The numbers to make the appointment is
727-586-3306. 3306.
Yeah, extension 200.
Extension 200.
And the young lady that answers the phone runs my calendar.
I just want to thank you. I listen to your show a lot, but I never thought I had to call you, but I appreciate you.
Well, I'm sorry for the loss in your family there, but I'll be glad to help you.
All right. Thank you. I appreciate you.
Thank you.
Well.
All right. Appreciate all our callers, too, actually. So thank you so much. That's what really makes the show, and that's what's made it last so long, 33 years and running, is people get help, other people are listening, and it's a win-win for everybody. And I certainly enjoy doing it. I could be playing golf or something on Saturday morning, so I'd rather come do this, believe it or not. All right, so let's go to – all right, thanks for calling, Ben. Let's go to Joy in Tampa. Hey, Joy.
Hello.
Yes, ma'am.
Yes, my question is that I got my house deterred in like a debt collection a couple of years back. I borrowed money on it. My son got in trouble.
Mm-hmm.
And – ever since I borrowed that money, it be going from debt collection to debt collection. And I just want to know, how can I get out of it? How can I pay it off? I'm on disability. I don't get very much. But when I first purchased the house, I've got it from a one owner, like somebody I knew in the neighborhood sold me their house, and then they had a family member in real estate, and I was just paying it so good. Only owed like $10,000. Now I owe like $62,000. I'm in a, just from debt credit to debt credit.
Mm-hmm.
They moved.
All right, so your house has a $62,000 mortgage on it. What's it worth?
I might say like maybe 50, 60, it might be about that much, because I done added on and done work to it. It's an old wooden frame house, but I had an extra room added on, like 33 by 17, a brick wall put up around it, and this new roof put on it, you know, two bathrooms redone. I mean, tile, Spanish tile from floor to wall, you know, wooden floors that was in the house when I moved in it, you know, floors varnished, and it's just a nice house. And I've been in it since 92, and I think when I did that, it was like 2004, and here it is 2018, and I'm still, it's like still $62,000 from borrowing money.
Yeah. All right. All right. Well, ma'am, you probably can't refinance if the house is upside down.
Yes.
And you don't. I'm guessing you don't have the funds to pay it off, or nobody's going to refinance it at that level. And you'd have to qualify for a new mortgage.
Okay.
So I don't have a quick answer for you.
Okay. All right, sir.
Thank you so much. All right, I'm sorry.
Okay, bye-bye.
All right, you're listening to Ask an Attorney, All About Florida Law. I'm Attorney Joe Pippin, practicing attorney. And I have a note here to check my phone for a question from our producer in Tampa. It says, sir, I was being asked by the station in Sun City Center if you're going to rerun the Trial of Jesus segment on March 31st. All right, I guess so. I'm going to say yes. I love rerunning that. I get a lot of positive response. What that is the Easter, that's Easter Saturday before, I guess, Easter is on April 1st this year, I guess. So my show will be March 31st. And yes, I'll replay that. It's a Trial of Jesus. So what I do there, this is presentations I made in churches. And it's going through the three trials in the Roman court, three trials in the Jewish courts, the laws back then versus the laws today. So if you want to mark that on your calendar, that's one of my... There's about three or four times a year I'll replay something that I've done before. And that's one of the shows I like to replay. It's called The Trial of Jesus. It's going to be on Easter Saturday. So I will definitely replay that. And my producer in Tampa wanted to know that because one of the Sun City Center station wanted to know that. So it's being requested. So, hey, if it's being requested, I'll do it. Great. All right, you have time to call the show, though. You have time to call the show today. And you have a toll-free number, 877-943-9673. That's 877-943-9673. Phone lines are open. Had a lot of interesting questions today all over the state of Florida. Fleming Island, Palm Coast, Haines City, Sarasota, Lake City, Crystal River, Jacksonville, Tampa. Hey, no matter where you're listening, if you have a legal question, your question helps other people. And if I can help you and help other people listening, hey, that's what we're trying to do, help people. All you have to do is call the show, 877-943-9673. This also, if you listen to the show, you know it's a 52-minute run with no commercials. So if you notice, we don't take any commercial breaks on the show. They play, they do the commercials at the end of the show, whatever they have to do for network requirements and so forth. They do all those at the end of the show from 52 until the top of the hour. So we come on, I guess it's a 50-minute segment. We start at 8:02 and run to 8:52. So straight through, no commercials. And, you know, it's just I don't like commercials during the middle of my show. And it's disruptive talking about something that's not related to the show. So, hey, if I can't do my show commercial-free for 50 minutes, I just don't go on that station to do it. So I'm glad all the stations work with us on that. But you have an opening here to go. Let's go to Michelle. But right after Michelle, if you want to be the next caller, it's 877-943-9673. Let's go to Michelle in Sarasota. Hey, Michelle.
Hey, how are you?
I'm doing great. And you?
Great. I have a question. My husband is now disabled from severe depression. He's been bedridden pretty much for several years, and now has come to the point where we don't have any papers in order. And we talked about durable power of attorney in medical health care and over financial and everything. And it's really hard to get him out of bed into a lawyer's office. How do you manage that, and where do you start to get those papers? Don't you have to be in person?
No, we sometimes come to houses. Sometimes we can mail documents somewhere, and then they're mobile notaries, you know, that travel to notarize documents from place to place. I mean, there would be a solution to the situation of him not being able to come to a law office.
Okay.
We can either do a home visit or arrange to get papers through the mail. And whenever I send papers through the mail and I can't be there for some reason, I'm there. I'm always there telephonically during the signing. And then we just arrange. You could probably have two neighbors be the witnesses.
Sure.
So then we just have to figure out the notary angle to the papers. But, you know, sometimes, depending on where you are, we could come to you. And otherwise, we could arrange a mobile notary to come to your home.
Wonderful. It seemed like it was almost the impossible. Because I thought the only way to do this was to try to bring him into an attorney's office to get him to sign. But it's been very challenging. So,
no, there's always whatever the problem is. There's always some answer to it. You just have to figure it out. But we come to hospitals, nursing homes, do home visits. I mean, there's a way to do it. Either we would come or we could just make arrangements for it to happen.
Oh, okay, great. Thank you so much. Appreciate
all right,
it.
Thank you. Let's go to Ruth in Jacksonville. Ruth, are you there?
Jacksonville. I have a situation in my apartment. This guy has this big souped-up pickup, and he parks it right against my window, and it's so loud that when he leaves, like, around 4, it's so loud, you're just jumped up automatically.
Hmm.
So, you know, I called around, and the clincher is he's military. And I've called around, and nobody can help me.
Well, have you talked to him directly? I mean, could you tell him the situation and ask him to park away from...
I did.
And he said no?
He said, at one time he said, well, now, if you want quiet, you're supposed to move to a house. That was one time. And another time, when I went out, the first time I went out, he wouldn't get out of his truck. I mean, here I am, a senior citizen and a house coat, and he's in the military Navy, and he wouldn't step out and say, could I help you or something?
Hmm. All right, and, so you live in a condo?
No, it's an apartment.
So you rent in an apartment?
Yes, we're renters.
Have you complained to the landlord?
I have.
And what does the landlord say?
They're going to look into it, and that was like January.
Well,
so they don't want to bother him because he's military. It seems to be a closed society. You can't get in there.
Well, I think you're going to just have to keep the pressure up on the landlord. I mean, you're being robbed of your peace and enjoyment of your place you live.
Oh, absolutely.
So the landlord should do something about that, and it seems like a reasonable request that he would just park a little bit away from waking people up. If he wakes you up, he's waking other people up too, right?
Oh, he certainly is waking up, and they're rude. You know, there other people have said they're just really nasty people.
The other people, people that are living there are rude and nasty, or just the military guy?
Oh, the military guy is rude to other people besides me.
I see. All right, so get a group of you to complain to the landlord.
Okay. Well,
I mean, I don't know what else to tell you. You'd spend money if you went to court. I'm not sure what the outcome of that would be. You probably waste a lot of time and money going to court. The simple thing to do is to get the landlord to fix this problem.
Yeah. Okay.
All right. Do you know, so he's active military?
He's active military. Navy.
Does he travel? I mean, does he leave there for months at a time or something?
Well, I was hoping, but, you know, they've only been here since, you know, like maybe 5 months, and he hasn't left. So I keep hoping that he will go out to sea and whatever, but I don't know.
You know, if you could find out where he was, who his commander was.
Mm-hmm. I've tried.
Oh, you've tried that?
I've looked at everything on the internet, Navy.it. You know, all that. I thought today maybe I would call the recruiting office and see if they could tell me. Would that be a good idea?
Yeah, you could start there.
Okay.
And anybody listening to the show that has some suggestions on where he can find this guy stationed, talking to his commander might, you know, just as a, you know, I'm a senior citizen, I've tried to reason with somebody that's in your group, and I've reached no success. I'm just reaching out as a last straw, pleading for some help in this case, and have the commander talk to him. I mean, that might work. But if any of our listeners have other suggestions, just keep tuned. Well, maybe we'll get a call with something else that might work for you.
Okay, so I just stay on the... No, I just...
Yeah, just listen.
Hang up.
Yeah, just listen. We'll see if we get anybody else. We only got 8 minutes or so. But just keep listening. Okay. We'll see if anyone else calls with some help for you.
Okay, thank you so much.
All right, thank you. You're listening to Ask an Attorney, all about Florida law. I'm Attorney Joe Pippin, practicing attorney. Phone lines are open at 877-943-9673. If you have another suggestion here for Ruth, give us a call. Let's go to Jeff in Bradenton. Hey, Jeff.
How are you today?
I'm doing great. And you?
Great. I was calling to find out. I bought some Litecoin a few years ago.
Some Bitcoins?
And I went. Excuse me?
Some Bitcoins?
Yes.
Okay.
But it was when I go on the web now to try to get it, they said that it's been federally, or the site has been federally locked down or something.
Mm-hmm.
But I want to know, like, how can I get to my coins? How can I get that asset?
All right, so you bought these online? And the federal government shut down the business, basically, because it was probably a scam? Shut down the site. Yeah.
Okay. So I can't get those anymore.
Do you know where the business was located you bought them from?
No, I bought them offline.
Yeah, but do you know there was a business you bought them from?
I forgot this. Actually, I had a buddy of mine purchase them, and when I asked him to send them over to me, he showed me the site thing soon about it being.
All right. Well, to help you, I would need to know the name and location of the company you bought them from. Then we could check them online to see if they were registered with the state. And then you might have to file an action in that. Yeah, you don't have the information. I'm not going to be able to help you.
Let me get that information. I'll call you back.
All right. Very good. Let's go to Jerry and Valrico. Hey, Jerry.
I was listening earlier about the lady with the military guy.
Yeah.
If she goes and looks around his windshield area, usually they have like a sticker that gets them on and off the base.
Yeah, there you go.
And it'll have like a number or something like that, and usually it also lists what base or what unit, normally just the base though, that he's assigned to, and then she could call that base with that number, and they'd be able to identify. They won't tell her who he is, but it'll at least that way there she'll have a connection as to who he is to the base that he's assigned to.
There you go. Great idea.
She might be able to find out what unit he's attached with.
Very good. Very good. So I'm glad you thought of that.
Question. I'm looking into adding my fiance to my deed on the house that I purchased.
Mm-hmm.
And I was told by the credit union that I could either go through a title office or I have to get an attorney. And I went to the title office that I used when I closed on the house, and they said, no, you just have to use an attorney for that. Do you have any experience around that?
Yeah, I mean, that's a simple deed to do. The question becomes, though, whether you should do that or not. And my advice generally would be wait till you're married and then possibly do it. My advice also, I don't know anything about you. I don't know, but, you know, if there's a second marriage, for example, and you have assets and she has assets, a lot of people do like a premarital agreement, so you waive the spousal rights for a while until you're married for a couple of years at least. And if there's a mortgage on the house, putting someone else's name on it, particularly if you're not married, could cause the mortgage to become due. So I think you should just sit down with an attorney. I mean, I'll be glad to help you. We have offices in Sun City Center, probably closest to Valrico, and talk about all these issues and whether you really should do that or not and when you should do it. You know, should you do it now or wait till after you're married? And whether or not you should have a premarital agreement. I mean, so there's some issues there to discuss before you would just jump in and do that.
All right. All right. Well, I appreciate that.
All right, Jerry. Thanks for calling, though.
Thank you. Yeah, bye now.
All right. All right. So hopefully the guy has a military sticker or the military number, and maybe you could track him down that way. If he's part of a reserve unit, though, but you said he was active duty, so that might very well work. He's part of a reserve unit. Might be a little bit harder to locate him. All right, let's go to Francis in Lakeland. Oh. Hey, Francis.
Listen, I'll give you a synopsis. I'm in a 55 and older community, and I rent a lot that my trailer sets on.
Mm-hmm.
And I bought this building over 7 months, almost 8 months ago. And when I first came in, it was very quiet and peaceful here.
Mm-hmm.
On the other side of the fence, you have a commercial, an establishment. It's a bar and dance club that started up. Mm-hmm. And they've been making a lot of noise. They keep their bass up very high. I can't even sleep in my bedroom. I've been in the living room, and I downloaded an app from Google.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm getting 60 dB or 70 dB in the bedroom. And I'm getting 60 dB in the living room. And I brought this up to the commissioners. I brought it up to sheriff's office. I brought it up to the people that actually manage this facility, and nobody wants to do anything about it.
Mm-hmm.
And there's supposedly a variance or basically a ticket to be able to disturb people's peace. And all the people all along here are all complaining about it, and they don't want to do anything.
Get everybody that will to sign a statement and send it to the local police chief. I mean, the policeman might not do anything about it, so you need to move it up the line for the police to actually do something about it.
Yeah, well, they tell me that there's nothing that they can do about it.
Well, the policeman might tell you that.
And document it. I got about 20 calls. Nobody will do anything.
Have you talked
about
to the police chief, though, directly?
No, sir, I have not.
Yeah, I'll give that a shot.
Okay.
All right.
Thank you.
Thanks, Francis.
You.
All right. Thank you.
Bye-bye.
All right. You're listening to Ask an Attorney All About Florida Law. Thank you so much. Be back next week the same time.